VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today for a Friday news roundup on Crosstalk as Sandy has pulled together many stories and provided the information for a lot of what we'll be talking about today on the broadcast. And friends, today is a very infamous day because it was on this day in 1973 that the U.S. Supreme Court made the decision, a majority of the court members made the decision that it was constitutional to kill a baby in the womb. They said it was constitutional to take the life of another human being. That's right, it is a separate human being, its own DNA, its own blood type, own unique genetic code. And the U.S. Supreme Court gave that sanction to take place. Friends, it is horrendous to know that since Roe v. Wade, according to numberofabortions.com, as I pulled this information down just approximately 60 minutes ago, there have been, since Roe, 62,553,810 abortions, babies killed in the United States of America. The number one cause of death. Yes, far greater than COVID, yet we don't see the nightly statistics on the news. Just today alone in the United States, as of 1 hour ago, over 1,293 children killed in the womb. Over 50,000 this year alone since January 1st began. It's an atrocity that's taken place. I saw a column written by Chuck Norris at WND.com saying this Friday, January 22nd, marks 48 years since abortion became legal across the United States. On January 22, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court declared its decision regarding the case of Roe v. Wade when the highest court in the land ruled that the individual state laws banning abortion were unconstitutional. From that point onward, abortion on demand was legalized in all 50 states. 11 years later, January 13, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Since 1973, over 62 million Americans have lost their lives in the womb due to being aborted or terminated by their parent. As long as Americans are relearning how to respect and get along with one another and even agree to disagree agreeably, maybe it's high time we reevaluated the worth we give to the voiceless in wombs, too. It's crazy sometimes what modern humans value over human life. Case in point is plastic straws. A 2020 Angus Reid poll asked 1,528 Canadians for their moral perspectives on a wide variety of issues. Among the findings, while 51% thought that using plastic straws is always or usually morally wrong, only 20% thought that the same of doctor-assisted dying, and just 26% for abortion. So someone might have had their elderly mother euthanized or had their unborn baby aborted, but they feel like a good person since they used a bamboo and not a plastic straw. Folks, it's unbelievable, the ideas that are going forth. That is certainly a Canadian poll, but I wonder if it would have any kind of polling difference here in the United States. Issues regarding babies' value and abortion have been recently compounded, even with the COVID-19 vaccinations, as some of the companies that produce them use aborted fetal cells in development or in the lab testing. Norris says that Thomas Jefferson explained in the founding of our country that preserving human life and the human value in life was government's primary role. The care of human life and happiness, not their destruction, is the first and only legitimate object of good government. It's the reason that Jefferson created and penned his own hands the words of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The enduring value of humans is echoed in the Bible in Psalm 139. As we learn that God created us, knit us together in our mother's womb, Psalmist wrote, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. From LifeNews.com, President Trump made a religious liberty a focus of his administration when he protected nuns who serve the poor and elderly from being forced to pay for abortive patients in Obamacare. You saw that suit, Sisters of the Poor. His administration fought for conscience rights for pro-life medical workers, including a pro-life nurse in Vermont who was tricked into helping abort an unborn baby, and it sanctioned China for persecuting Muslim minorities and forcing mothers to abort their unborn babies throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. Last Saturday, President Trump recognized Religious Freedom Day in a special proclamation and encouraged Americans to celebrate one of the country's most cherished fundamental values. He also honored the sanctity of every life and protected the conscience rights of all Americans so they could practice their faith without discrimination. But you know who is cheering today? You know who is cheering today at all this bloodshed of the womb? Oh, here is an email that came from NARAL Pro-Choice America. Used to be known as the National Abortion Rights Action League. And here's what they put out, saying, it's been nearly 50 years since the Supreme Court's ruling of Roe v. Wade cemented a pregnant person's right to abortion. Isn't that something? They can't even use the word woman any longer because they say that it's all due to gender identity, that it has to be a pregnant person's right because they believe that that there are some women who cannot have a child because they are transgender. That's crazy. And today we're still fighting to make reproductive freedom a reality for everybody. Roe laid the groundwork to ensure that all of us have control over our own bodies, our own lives and futures. Well, not that of the unborn baby. But preserving Roe and their constitutional right to abortion is just the beginning of the work we have to do. We need to reimagine a world where access to abortion is a reality for everybody, no matter who they are, where they live, their income, or how they get their health coverage. Folks, what about living in a womb? Who they are, whether boy or girl, whether they have a physical disability or not? They said regardless of their income, but somehow the most poor and most vulnerable amongst us, they have no problem taking their life. Let me repeat their sentence. We need to reimagine a world where access to abortion is a reality for everybody, no matter who they are, where they live, their income, or how they get their health coverage. Until then, anti-choice extremists will continue attacking reproductive freedom through dangerous disinformation, abortion bans, and medically unnecessary restrictions that disproportionately block people of color from accessing abortion care. Now, friends, you know if you've listened to this program that abortion is all about black genocide. You know what Margaret Sanger has said about the black population, viewed them as just being human weeds, wanted to exterminate them. That is the founder of Planned Parenthood. Do you know that since Roe v. Wade was declared constitutional and state laws banning abortion were declared unconstitutional in 1973, that there have been over 18.7 million black babies that have been aborted in the U.S. Now, the black or African-American percent of our population is approximately 13.4%. That's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. But they account for some 30% of all abortions. 30%. You can't deny that this is black genocide. And when you have NARAL Pro-Choice America saying that stopping abortions disproportionately blocks people of color from accessing abortion care, folks, it is all about exterminating a population that was found to be reprehensible by Margaret Sanger. But of course, they're putting out their feelers today and their donation buttons. Hit this button to donate $40 or this button to donate $15. From ending bans on abortion coverage such as the racist Hyde Amendment to combating state. Folks, abortion is racism. Understand that. Abortion is racism. When 30% of all the abortions are on black babies and the black population making up 13% of our population. They say that we have the power to do so much more for reproductive freedom in 2021, but we can't do it without your support. Celebrate the 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and help us keep fighting to protect and expand reproductive freedom in 2021 and beyond. It's signed by Team NARAL. Shame on them. LifeSiteNews.com reporting, or I'm sorry, LifeNews.com, that pro-life pioneer Joe Scheidler, leading advocate of the American pro-life movement, has passed away this week. Heralded as one of the early pro-life leaders to participate in protests at abortion clinics, encouraging Americans to vocally oppose abortion by speaking out for unborn children at the very abortion centers that they were killed. Several times, the National Organization of Women and others tried to file RICO suits against them, while the Supreme Court considered the lawsuit and subsequent legal actions three times and ultimately decided in Joe Scheidler's favor. Earlier today, in the state of Kansas, Kansas House Chamber started debating and working and voted on what is known as the Value Them Both Amendment. And we understand late morning today that the House of Representatives did pass this measure, 86-38, a constitutional amendment to protect safeguards on the abortion industry, they report. LifeSiteNews.com, the case Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization challenges the state law prohibiting the direct killing of preborn children after 15 weeks of pregnancy. We understand that's before the U.S. Supreme Court today in their conference to decide whether they will take this case or not. A ruling in favor of Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, should the court decide to hear the case, would essentially mean overturning Roe, reports LifeSiteNews.com, which imposed abortion on demand across the country in 1973. LifeSiteNews.com telling us about Dr. Anthony Fauci. He assures us that the World Health Organization, that Biden regime, is committed to funding abortions. Yeah, he's the president, Joe Biden's newly appointed chief medical advisor. Promise that President Biden will be revoking the Mexico City policy in the coming days. He said, I'm honored to announce that the U.S. will remain a member of the World Health Organization, Fauci declared, and it will be our policy to support women's and girls' sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights in the United States, as well as globally. To that end, President Biden will be revoking the Mexico City policy in the coming days as part of his broader commitment to protect women's health and advance gender equality at home and around the world. How is this going to advance gender equality when you're killing girls? Half the abortions are girls? Or greater percentage. NewAmerican.com also reports that Fauci announced that Biden had signed a letter retracting President Trump's decision to withdraw from WHO and assured those present that the U.S. will continue to fund the organization. It was because of the World Health Organization's failures and its favoritism toward China that President Trump withdrew the U.S. this past July. China has total control of the World Health Organization despite only paying $40 million per year compared to what the U.S. had been paying, which was approximately $450 million a year. More than 10 times greater the U.S. was paying into the World Health Organization. The country was scheduled to withdraw from the organization July 2021, but that's being reversed by new President Joe Biden. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to continue with some other current events and stories going on, including the fact that it's been announced today that Nancy Pelosi will be delivering the impeachment papers, the impeachment articles to the Senate this coming Monday. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. And yes, indeed, Chuck Schumer said today that Nancy Pelosi has informed him articles of impeachment against President Trump will be delivered to the Senate this coming Monday. And that paves the way for a trial. We understand that this trial needs to begin within 24 hours of the impeachment papers being delivered. They will be delivered Monday, so that would mean that the trial would begin on Tuesday. Lord willing, constitutional attorney Matt Staver, scheduled to be with us on Tuesday's Crosstalk, will be delving into that much further, and trust you'll be able to join us for it. Epoch Times reporting South Carolina-based lawyer Butch Bowers will be a lead attorney in President Donald Trump's Senate impeachment trial over a charge that he incited insurrection. He is one who is said to be respected by both Republicans and Democrats. He did represent former Republican governors in North and South Carolina and also served in the U.S. Justice Department under Republican former President George W. Bush, according to his website. Well, LifeSiteNews.com tells us that this Capitol riot on January 6 began 30 minutes before President Trump finished his speech. Now, keep in mind that they are saying that the president instigated this with lines that he was making in the just within a minute before the end of his speech. But according to records and according to the timelines, the riot at the Capitol began 30 minutes before the speech was even ended. Isn't that interesting? Also, yesterday we shared on the program about the people that were caught and on video changing into Trump clothing in order to disguise themselves as being Trump supporters. LifeSiteNews.com also says that the dissident group Boogaloo, the Boogaloo Boys, leader Mike Dunn, or otherwise known as BB, exposed the involvement of his anti-Trump, anti-government, and anti-police political group in violent events unfolded in the Capitol on January 6, saying that three or four groups of loyalists under his command helped storm the Capitol that week in an interview with Reuters. This group, which is often reported as a right-wing extremist group by mainstream media outlets, aligns itself, though, with hard-left activist groups, Black Lives Matter, as well as anarchist principles of government. He tweeted on January 6 that his organization was at the heart of the trouble inside the Capitol building, writing that BB teams have been activated in Virginia, and we currently have four firearms inside Capitol, or fire teams inside Capitol, seven more outside. After being asked why the BB would be occupying the Capitol, he reported it's to reveal the breach of security while mocking the defenses to protect tyrants, whether that be Trump or others. His Twitter account has since been removed. Also, John Earl Sullivan, Sandy, Utah, insists he's not a member of Antifa or Black Lives Matter, but the activists in Black Bloc who were behind the estimated $2 billion in damage over the summer don't carry membership cards, reports WND.com. In quieter moments, many explain their aim is to provoke a revolution and replace the American Republic with an anarchist system in which there is no state. A founder of the group Insurgents USA. He was already facing rioting and criminal mischief charges related to Black Lives Matter protests in Utah last June. And last week, insisted in an interview with Anderson Cooper on CNN, he was in the Capitol building, but he said he was there to document the chaos. Well, the Justice Department, a week ago, arrested him, presented video evidence of him inciting rioters to climb the wall, admitted to breaking a window, celebrating with a photojournalist the fact that he and allies had successfully sowed violent chaos in the U.S. Capitol that would be blamed on Trump supporters. And Donald Trump is being held with impeachment charges on this? CBN News reporting that the U.S. Attorney's Office says an anti-Trump Florida man has been charged with trying to organize an armed response to pro-Trump protesters. An affidavit from an FBI agent says Daniel Baker of Tallahassee was using social media to recruit people in a plot to encircle protesters and trap them in the Capitol. And folks, the vengeance goes out on others. This from Western Journal, the founder and CEO of MyPillow, This Mike Lindell said a backlash against his company has begun. Major retailers, he said, like Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's, have dropped his products recently. Both companies confirmed the decision to cease carrying the brand on Tuesday, but one cited flagging sales rather than his actions or support for President Trump. There's been decreased customer demand for MyPillow, Kohl said in an email. Lindell has echoed Trump's claims of election fraud in the presidential race that had led people to flock to social media and put pressure on stores carrying MyPillow to drop the brand. Lindell said products have also been pulled from online furniture store Wayfair and Texas supermarket chain HEB. Lindell said actions came after groups like Sleeping Giant pushed companies to stop doing business with him. Lindell said it's not their fault that they are scared because they don't realize these are fake people that are on, that they're going, we're going to boycott your store if you don't drop my pillow. People should go into their stores and say, support my pillow, he added. He also said the company is a good partner and has been in direct sales increase 30 to 40% since a week ago Friday. That's Epic Times. Not only that, but somebody else coming under fire now, Franklin Graham. Yeah, more than 22,000 people, according to FaithWire.com, have signed a petition calling for the Reverend Franklin Graham to be fired from his leading roles at the Christian humanitarian organization Samaritan's Purse, as well as from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Why? Because of his support for former President Donald Trump. The Faithful America petition rebuked Graham for his endorsement of Trump's, quote, deadly presidency, and described the son of the late evangelist Billy Graham as a, quote, blasphemous preacher. Well, we all saw the thousands of guardsmen in Washington, D.C. Bronson Stocking at townhall.com alerted us to the fact that thousands of National Guardsmen stationed at the Capitol nearby congressional buildings were abruptly told to vacate the premises yesterday. A report in Politico says the guardsmen were told by Capitol Police, leave the Capitol. Leave the Capitol premises. Set up your mobile command centers outside or nearby hotels. The guardsmen were also told to take rest breaks during their 12-hour shifts either outside or in nearby parking garages. 5,000 troops in the unit were reportedly forced to rest on the hard floors of a parking garage that lacked internet reception, contained a single electrical outlet, and a lone bathroom with just two stalls. 5,000 troops. A guardsman told Politico this yesterday, dozens of senators and congressmen walked on our lines, taking photos, shaking our hands, thanking us for our service. Within 24 hours, they had no further use for us and banished us to a corner of a parking garage. We feel incredibly betrayed. Well, folks, news like that doesn't stay silent. So after this goes public, that the troops were handled in such a disrespectful way, these guard troops now who were banished to a parking garage after being asked to leave parts of the Capitol, well, now they've been allowed back in, reports the Epic Times. Brigadier General Janine Burkhead, Inauguration Task Force Commander, confirms that troops are out of the garage now back into the Capitol building as authorized by the USCP Watch Commander, and the troops will take their breaks near Emancipation Hall going forward. Who made that decision? To banish these troops? Yeah, you saw them and shaking hands and thank you for your service. And by the way, 24 hours later, get out into the parking garage, go lay on the concrete floors, try and stay warm in there. Yeah, there's one outlet for all you guards to, you know, plug in your cell phones, whatever you need to do. CNN broke news of a Virginia man arrested at a checkpoint in downtown D.C., also reports Bronson Stocking. Carrying a loaded firearm, more than 500 rounds of ammunition, and fake inaugural credentials, but the Washington Post reported the man works as a private security guard, simply had non-government credentials that were deemed unauthorized by an officer at the checkpoint, according to the man's wife. And the relentless attacks continue against Donald Trump from Hillary Clinton. Western Journal reporting that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton floated a new Russian collusion narrative, suggested that President Trump was merely a puppet for Russian President Vladimir Putin in a podcast interview released Monday, saying, I would love to see his phone records to see whether he was talking to Putin the day the insurgents invaded our capital. Because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world, she said, these people, unbeknownst to them, may be our Putin's puppets. They were doing Putin's business when they did that at the incitement of an insurrection by the President of the United States. WND.com reporting many Georgia voters who backed the two Democrats in the Senate runoff earlier this month already are enraged by what they regard as a broken promise. You see, during the final campaign pitch to Georgia, voters for Democrat John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, Joe Biden promised taxpayers would receive $2,000 in a new COVID stimulus package. If you send John and the Reverend to Washington, those $2,000 checks will go out the door, Biden declared. Well, now reports indicate the freshman senators support the Biden administration's proposal for $1,400 checks, arguing that Trump already delivered $600 payments earlier this month. But AOC insists voters have been shortchanged. She said $2,000 means $2,000. $2,000 does not mean $1,400. Georgia Democrat Representative Oscar Zero said Warnock and Ossoff made it a point to endorse and exclusively say $2,000 checks. Well, jury's out on that one yet. WND.com reporting that many employers and employees over the past several years have pointed to experience as a reason they oppose a $15 minimum wage, which forms the core of Joe Biden's proposed $1.9 trillion economic stimulus and COVID-19 relief plan. Last month, Jamie Richardson, vice president of the White Castle hamburger chain, told CNBC's Closing Bell that raising the federal minimum wage from the current $7.25 an hour would force the closure of nearly half of his company's locations and lay off thousands of workers. To more than double the federally mandated starting wage wouldn't be bad for White Castle. It would be absolutely catastrophic, he said. More than 200 of White Castle's 406 locations across the United States would close. Richardson said the move would be unsustainable, would result in teenage unemployment. White Castle has said that is often able to retain teens, and they boasted that one in four employees had been with the company for 10 years or more, saying we're going to lose all these jobs. We're going to have to close down. But I guess it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, when just with a stroke of the pen yesterday, how many thousands of jobs were canceled with the pipeline? Putting a stop to the Keystone XL? Further from WND.com, after casting President Trump and his supporters as white supremacists and conspiracy theorists for the past 4 years, AOC thinks it's time to pour more money into efforts to de-radicalize and deprogram the population. At a virtual town hall meeting, AOC said it's a problem that doesn't go away on January 20th when Joe Biden's inaugurated as the 46th president. There are people who are radicalized right now. It's going to take a very long time to de-radicalize these people and a lot of effort, she said. In November, a member of the DNC, David Atkins, said on Twitter that deprogramming is needed for every one of the Americans who voted for Trump on November 3rd. No, seriously, how do you deprogram 75 million people? Where do you start? Fox? Facebook? He wrote on Twitter. Yesterday, we alluded you to the fact that there was going to be a national prayer service for President Biden's regime. It featured a trans activist, Catholic nuns, and even a reading from the Quran. A female rabbi prayed for an end to the heresy of white supremacy, and common themes running through the pro-gay event's prayers were for unity, compassion, healing, people on the margins of society, and those with COVID-19. We're going to take another quick break here in Crosstalk. I've got a few more stories I'd like to share with you today on the broadcast. And Lord willing, later in the program, we'll give you opportunity to call in and share your thoughts on these issues. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and folks, what a time to let our light shine. Let our light shine. You know, we talk about some of the things happening, and the only answer is Jesus. People need to know Jesus as Savior. We need a heart transplant here across this nation. A heart transplant, a heart that is changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As believers in Christ, we have that responsibility to be light, to take the gospel here to this world, and to be salt, to have an impact upon society around us as well, being salt and being light. Let's continue on with some news stories here today, because there is going to be more action in the Middle East. Jihad Watch reporting that Wendy Sherman, who brokered the Iran Accord under Barack Obama and negotiated a nuclear deal with North Korea under Bill Clinton, named as Deputy Secretary of State, and this is an individual said, I'm confident that we'll use their diplomatic experience and skill to restore America's global and moral leadership. America is back, President Biden said in a statement. As President Joe Biden and congressional Democrats seek to restore closer ties with Iran, Iran's lawmakers are looking forward to the destruction of Israel. Yes, WND.com. In December, an estimated 150 House Democrats seconded Biden's plan to restore the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, which was negotiated while Biden was vice president. That's a stance opposed by many Republicans and by the government of Israel. According to analysis by the Washington Institute for the Near East Policy, a bill working its way through Iran's legislature would oblige the government to work toward evicting the U.S. from the Middle East and destroying Israel within 20 years. How do you find common ground with that? How do you find common ground with a country that is destined to wipe you off the face of the earth? The UN is saying, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. Here's the headline from Jihad Watch. UN says it mistakenly included textbooks promoting jihad war against Israel among books that it distributed to students. How do you make a mistake like that? Some mislabel Israel as Palestine, or erased the country from maps of the Middle East. One Arabic grammar booklet features phrases like jihad is one of the doors to paradise. Another reads that the Palestinians are lions and fighting the enemies. One book has a poem about how a raging fire awaits the occupation, while another states that the motherland is worthy of any kind of sacrifice, and the enemy committed heinous offenses against anyone fighting a jihad or holy war. Wisconsin's Health Secretary Andrea Palm left Wisconsin this week to join Joe Biden's administration. She's the one that put down some lockdowns here in the state of Wisconsin, at-home orders, mask mandates. But now she's going to be overseeing the nation's response to the pandemic. Also, from the Epic Times, more than 100,000 more in America will die from COVID-19 over about the next month, said the next director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. By the middle of February, we expect 500,000 deaths in this country, said Dr. Rochelle Walensky. That's who President Biden has tapped for the position, as she stated that January 17th on Face the Nation. Western Journal reporting that a peer-reviewed study conducted by researchers affiliated with Stanford University and published January 5th analyzed coronavirus case growth in 10 countries in early 2020, saying COVID lockdowns have no clear benefit versus other voluntary measures, international study shows, the outlet wrote in a tweet. The study, which can be viewed on the Wiley Online Library website, evaluated non-pharmaceutical intervention lockdowns in the countries of England, France, Germany, Iran, Italy, Netherlands, Spain, South Korea, Sweden, and the U.S. The results? No clear significant beneficial effect of more restrictive lockdown measures on case growth in any country. Isn't that something? They said we failed to find an additional benefit at stay-at-home orders and business closures, the researchers found. In other words, millions were misled by experts who virtue signaled their way into shaming perfectly healthy people into altering their behavior to extreme degrees for almost a year, and it was for all nothing. Hunker down to save lives. Vote by mail. Save your grandma. Do not ask questions about the erosion of your civil liberties, or you're a serial killer and a science denier. From Fox Baltimore, Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott lifts some dining restrictions but imposes now eating time limits. Made the announcement Wednesday morning. Indoor dining at restaurants limited to 25% capacity, outside 50%. But the new restrictions also include a sign-in sheet for customers and diners, both indoors and outdoors, limited to 1 hour. Some health experts are questioning whether the time restraint really matters. What happens at 61 minutes? Does the virus come in at that point? PJ Media. A new study shows that transmission of COVID-19 extremely low in K-12 schools, providing face-to-face instruction. The study examined 11 school districts in North Carolina. To complete the study, they looked at each case identified and determined whether it was community-based or in-school spread. The determination was made by local health departments and showed that in-school transmission was extremely rare. The results were described by the researchers, saying over 9 weeks, 11 participating school districts had more than 90,000 students and staff attend school in person. Of those, there were 773 community-acquired SARS-CoV-2 infections documented by molecular testing through contact tracing. The North Carolina Health Department staff determined an additional 32 infections were acquired within schools. No instances of child-to-adult transmission of SARS-CoV-2 were reported within schools. Study also cites a recent research review that estimates COVID-19 deaths would only be reduced by 2-4% through school closures alone. LifeSiteNews.com. Germany has announced plans to open COVID-specific detention camps for those who fail to conform to the quarantine regulations imposed due to the coronavirus crisis. Similar camps are currently being discussed in New York and Australia. The Telegraph reports that due to permission granted under emergency powers, the detention centers or prison camps will be used to contain those who break quarantine rules. People who refuse to go into self-isolation after testing positive for the COVID-19 or after coming into contact with someone who had tested positive could be placed in the detention centers. However, reports notes that those who refuse to quarantine must first be warned and then receive a fine, after which a judge may then sentence them to a detention center. The draconian measures mirror that which are currently being considered in New York, where Bill A-416, currently under review by the New York Assembly's Health Committee, would permit the governor and his delegates to order the removal and or detention of anyone who presents a potential danger to the health of others, in the estimation of the officials. If an individual is even a suspected case or suspected carrier, keep in mind that word suspected of a disease, that could be removed into the custody of the department. Under the bill, any official with delegated authority and at least a reasonably specific description of the individual or group being detained would be able to confine people by obtaining a court order. The text of the bill is not particular to COVID-19, could be used for any illness that may pose a threat to the public health in the event that the governor declares a state health emergency. From Breaking Christian News, an Idaho court has now dismissed charges against a deacon who was among Christians arrested last September in Moscow, Idaho, for participating in an outdoor worship service. Police arrested those individuals for reportedly violating Moscow's mask mandate and the social distancing restrictions that were in place during the pandemic. Remember the controversy over the PCR test and guest doctors saying that, hey, that's not reliable? Well, guess what? Now the World Health Organization admits the gold standard that they called these PCR tests, well, it's unreliable. The World Health Organization has officially acknowledged that the gold standard test used to diagnose COVID-19 has a high rate of false positives that make it unreliable. So can we trust the numbers? Can we trust the numbers in all the worldwide charts and the U.S. charts that rely upon this PCR test? In advisory to lab workers issued January 13th, the World Health Organization recommends a second test to confirm any diagnosis for people who are not showing any symptoms of the disease. Where test results do not correspond with the clinical presentation, a new specimen should be taken, the guidance says. The WHO warns that most PCR tests are, quote, are indicated as an aid for diagnosis, meaning healthcare providers should consider at least 7 other factors to confirm the test. One other story here. that's interesting. Bill Gates, NewAmerican.com has it. Bill Gates buying up America's farmland? People ask the question, why? But nobody knows for sure the answer. Some have said, well, he's diversifying. But it's been revealed he is the biggest private owner of farmland in the United States after buying up 242,000 acres in 18 states. A single square mile contains 640 acres. This means that Bill Gates owns 378 square miles of the United States. Do you know that's more than a quarter of the size of the state of Rhode Island? And WND.com reporting that Microsoft is part of a coalition of technology and health organizations working on the development of a digital COVID-19 vaccination passport that could be used by businesses and countries to enforce mandatory inoculation. The Vaccination Credential Initiative aims to enable people to demonstrate their health status to safely return to work, to school, to travel, and life while protecting their data privacy, the Financial Times reported. The coalition could develop a certificate, a digital certificate that would be stored on a smartphone or in a digital wallet or a physical QR code. Let's open some phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, so much going on this week, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. LifeSite News also has a story about the CEO of the vaccine maker Moderna saying we're going to live with this virus forever. Health officials will have to continuously watch for new variants of this virus so scientists can produce vaccines to fight them, said Moderna's Stephanie Bansal. Many health experts, such as the UK's chief scientific advisor, Patrick Vallance, believes that COVID-19 is endemic, meaning it will be ever-present, as is the flu. Additionally, many high-profile figures like Bill Gates and Dr. Anthony Fauci have said that life will go back to normal only after the population is widely vaccinated. The emergence of the new strains of COVID-19, however, raises the question of whether public health authorities will deem lockdowns perpetually necessary as the world continues to anticipate new strains of the virus, perhaps indefinitely. Interesting indeed. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Let's begin with Brent in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call. Jim, it's a situation that needs to really be examined more closely. You were talking about the Keystone Pipeline. Well, Canada is upset to be heck, and they are liberal. The
yes.
thing that I wanted to explain to you about this is over 11,000 men have lost, well, not just men, but men and women, have lost their jobs. And of that number, over 8,000 are union members.
Yes.
This is unbelievable. Who voted for the man, and how did this all come to the where we're at right now? I just wanted the public to hear these numbers because I think they're quite interesting. And I hope you have a wonderful day and stay healthy.
Thank you, Brent. Appreciate your call. Julie in Chandler, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes, I just have a quick question to ask. Since Pelosi said you can't use, you know, women and men, mm-hmm. what are they going to call Jill Biden and Harris's husband?
Well, that's you're exactly right, because they have to redefine. They've redefined terms, and you know, when you say first gentle person, you know, we're going to find contradictions. Nancy Pelosi has contradicted herself already since she issued this on the House floor.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's quite a dilemma. Thank you for the call. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, it looks like we're just hours from a new administration, the Biden administration. What can we expect? Well, we don't have to guess. Secular Democrats have already put out a report, 25 pages. Not very long. But what do they cite as their main target in a Biden administration? Conservative people of faith. They openly talk about using a Biden administration to decide who is a legitimate nonprofit church and who is not. And how will they decide that? Based on whether or not you teach a Judeo-Christian worldview in the area of public policy. In fact, the report says they do not want Joe Biden or any of his administration representatives using the term "In God We Trust" or Judeo-Christian. My friends, we're in perilous times, as the Bible forewarned.
It's the News Roundup Day here today in Crosstalk. Thank you so much for tuning in to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. And let's go right back to the phone lines. And let's see, we've got David next in Milwaukee. David, you're on the air.
I thank you, Jim, for being the watchman on the wall all these years. And I just wanted to say thanks for that. I got an article at the end of the year, an edition of Wisconsin Christian News by Rob Pugh. It doesn't have to be a dark winter. Seek God now, and you will find him, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And then on one of the articles, he's got Ron Paul talking. He says, no vaccine for tyranny, and then he spells out COVID, certificate of vaccination ID showing a wrist and a hand with an ID mark. Just what you're saying. And the Lord's warned me not to take the vaccine and warned the body of Christ not to take it. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you for your thoughts, David. Chuck in Appleton, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Can I just read a couple of verses from Psalm 2?
Sure.
You know, where it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord God and against his anointed. And then as I skip down, it says, now therefore be wise, O kings or presidents. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling, lest he be angry. And then it says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. And I'm wondering, these the judges in the Supreme Court that didn't take the case of the fraudulent election, they're going to stand before the judge of all the earth, their judges. And then how do you pray for a Biden and his cohorts when abortion is their delight, giving billions to Iran again, who hates Israel and the U.S., and then the false narrative of, you know, stay at home, wear masks, stop working. They're like, oh, it really didn't have an effect. It's like, no, it just ruined tens of millions of lives and businesses. You know, you're like, Lord, how do I pray for these guys? They're
great.
So demonic.
Thank you.
So I'm just curious.
Okay, I'm going to release you here and share something with you here, Chuck. Thank you for the call. And how do we pray? And I've shared things previous, but I came across something that Dr. Charles Stanley had put out some time ago. And he came up with these ways to pray for influential men in government who make key decisions. Number one, he said, pray that they would realize their personal sinfulness and their daily need for cleansing of their sin by Jesus Christ. Pray that they would recognize their personal inadequacies for fulfilling their task, that they would depend upon God for knowledge, wisdom, and courage to do what is right. Pray that they would reject all counsel that violates spiritual principles, trusting God to prove them right. Pray that they would resist those who pressure them to violate their conscience. Pray that they would reverse the trends of socialism and humanism in this nation, both of which deify man rather than God. Pray that they'd be ready to sacrifice their personal ambitions and political careers for the sake of this nation if yielding them would be in the best interest of the country. Pray that they would rely upon prayer and the Word of God as a source of their daily strength, wisdom, and courage. Pray that they would restore dignity, honor, trustworthiness, and righteousness to the office they hold. Pray that they'd remember to be in good examples to the conduct to the fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters of our nation. And pray that they would be reminded daily that they're accountable to the Almighty God for the decisions that they make. And that, again, Dr. Charles Stanley on how to pray for those influential individuals in government who make key decisions. Good thoughts. Let's go to Ann next to Menominee Falls. Ann, you're on the air.
Hi. I think I've got an answer for you. I found a quote by Henry Kissinger. It says, control oil and you control nations. Control food and you control the people. Well, Bill Gates isn't going to become a farmer, but if he can stop other people from growing our food, he can starve us. It says in the Bible, there will be famine. Is this it?
Thank you for your thoughts on the end. Let's go to Trevor next in Wausau. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, I just wanted to say I'm so grateful that we have a wonderful God who's eternal and big enough to take care of the 62 million babies. And Jesus said that in his Father's house there are many mansions. And I know that God did not let one of those babies slip through his fingers. And I'm just grateful that we serve a true God, because no other God, false God, quote-unquote, can save themselves. So I'm just grateful.
Okay. Thank you indeed. And certainly, let's also point out that God says he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Gary in Mesa, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. You got wonderful callers. I was just looking up this impeachment. Alan Dershowitz was on Mike Huckabee's program last Saturday, and they said that they cannot impeach him after he's out of office because he is no longer subject to their jurisdiction. But it says judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profits in the United States. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable for subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to the law. So I don't see how that they can possibly do anything to him other than just more insults and injury to
insults
this
and I know there's great constitutional controversy over what they can and cannot do. Some have speculated that they will do this so that he could never run for office again.
Well, they want to make sure that, well, you have to have two-thirds there establish the conviction. So I'm not sure. I think if I were the president, I'd sue somebody for this.
Well,
this is just
keep in mind, Mitch McConnell is saying last report, you know, that came out, is not quite sure how he's going to be voting on this yet. And he's the Senate Minority Leader at this point.
Yeah, I got some problems with him.
Thanks for the call. Lee in Midway, Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim. This whole escapade has just been sheer nonsense right from the get-go. You know, And as my wife and I were looking at the book of Jude again the other night, we were thinking, these truly are the last days of the last days. And what we're seeing unfold is just one of those events that, you know, that's telling us that the end times are starting to come to a close. And what really bothers us the most is that people are so blind to it. People, go on about their business like nothing's really been stirred up. But there is a small percentage of really godly leadership, you know, within our country. And we need to keep them in our prayers constantly. And that's essentially all I had to say.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call here today. We've run out of time, but I'll say this. As Paul warned Timothy, in the last days, perilous times would come. And what did he tell Timothy? You hang on to sound doctrine, okay? Recognize all scripture given by inspiration of God. And then he said to preach the word, to preach the word. He said there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, keeping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Pastors, preach the word. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.